Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Talking football on the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. And we always love when we get to chat with John McClain, who, of course, has covered the NFL for the Houston Chronicle for 38 years. You give him a follow on Twitter, at McClain_on_NFL. And that's the very talented John McClain. John, it's Zach Gelb. Thanks for a few minutes. How you been, my friend?
Zach, I've been great. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. Not so much for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, if you're a fan of them right now, because this is a very messy situation with Jameis Winston. We've seen the report that it is expected he's going to be suspended for 3 games for the alleged groping incident with a female Uber driver. What do you think ends up happening here, and how does the NFL handle this since we haven't had an official announcement yet?
Zach, based on all the reports, he's not going to appeal. He knows he wouldn't win his appeal. He could delay it a year, possibly like Tom Brady did. But next year, when they picked up his fifth-year option or he's got a new contract, the 3-game suspension would cost him a whole lot more money than it'll cost this year. He missed 3 games last year. Ryan Fitzpatrick went 2-1 as a starter against a much easier schedule. Their first 3 games this year are extremely difficult. So it's another incident in the saga of Jameis Winston again when he was in college. And, you know, they've got something coming up now. They've got to decide in an extension, which would require a lot of guaranteed money, how do they want to handle it? Do they put clauses in there based on behavior, based on investigations, suspensions? But it's a really ugly thing for him. It's an ugly thing for the Bucs. And if it's true, I feel bad for the Uber driver.
No questions. We're talking to John McClain right now on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Trust is such a big thing with an NFL quarterback because not only do you want to see him perform well on the field, you also expect him to be a leader and doing everything right off the field. Clearly, there's been a lot of incidents like you've been talking about with Jameis Winston. When we talk about that trust, I know the reality of it is if he plays well this year, people will start to get behind him more and more. But these are some ugly incidents, like you said. How likely do you think it still is that he gets another contract with Tampa Bay and maybe another large one coming soon?
It wouldn't surprise me at all, Zach. They let him play next year, and instead of giving him long-term extension, franchise him a year and see if he can stay out of trouble. Now, this happened 2 years ago. The wheels of justice in the NFL turned slow. And so I believe that I'd be surprised if they give him a long-term extension after this season. But they know him better than anybody. And maybe, I mean, I tell you for the life of me, Zach, and I bet you're like this too. If you're in a car with a woman, why in the world would you want to, and she's an Uber driver, why in the world would you grab somebody's crotch? What is the point? And that's what I just don't understand, you know, the mentality of something like that. And so the things that have been adding up from him have been serious allegations at Florida State. Then he had some other incidents. This is very serious. And I would think they would want a lot of proof that he was going to stay out of trouble, avoid incidents before they commit long-term to him. That means they might have to let him play out the contract and franchise him like the Redskins did with Kirk Cousins.
When you get into proof of what the NFL maybe found in their investigation, you're talking about, and we've seen the reports from Tampa, like you said, he's not going to appeal when the suspension does officially come down. What are you just hearing about proof and things that maybe the NFL did find in their investigation?
I'll tell you something's very interesting. You know, his former teammate Ronald Darby, yep, who's outgoing in the Florida State situation, did it again this time. And the third person who'd been unnamed through all this, turns out he's in prison. His attorney said that guy told him he saw Winston get into the Uber by himself. Now, we're talking about somebody that's in prison, but obviously the NFL has investigated, talked to more people, and I'm sure they don't like the appeal. Last year, you know, they were on Ezekiel Elliott, six-game suspension appeal that he lost, and then the suspension, it was an embarrassment for the NFL, not to mention Ezekiel Elliott. And another thing, Zach, you know this, in the NFL, it's not what you do in September and October, but November and December. Take the suspension, get it over with. Ryan Fitzpatrick will be healthy to start the season. If you appeal and you wait later in the season where you get suspended, players are hurt. Maybe Fitzpatrick's hurt and you got to go with Ryan Griffin. He's not ready. So just do it, get it over with, and focus on the last 13 games.
I know each incident is different, but we've seen the NFL for similar situations give out a game, two games, six games, you know, depending on what video comes out or not. If it is three, how do you think they got to three? Because I'm always curious about how the NFL comes up with the number, because there's no clear pattern that they take in these kinds of situations.
My opinion would be they were going to go with six, like they did with Zeke Elliott, and they negotiated it down to three, half, six. And that's just my opinion. I have no insight, but I could certainly see that being the case. All right, instead of six and you appeal, three if you don't appeal, and his attorneys told him, take it.
With the job that you do, and you know all about developing sources and making contacts with the league, we still haven't had an official announcement yet. Just give me a little bit of an insight on that, on why something like this leaks in something that is a suspension, and it's still been a few days, and we still haven't heard from the NFL officially on this.
There's supposed to be a confidentiality agreement between the players and the owners, therefore the league, and yet there are members of the media, and this was broken originally by a radio guy in Tallahassee, and then others got credit for it, but he's the one that had the suspension. He didn't have the exact reason correct, but somebody told him, and then somebody told others, and it's probably multiple sources, because people in the league office, plus people with the Buccaneers, plus people connected to Jameis Winston, they all know this. And so I can see how a lot of things can get out and might not come from the league office when you have so many different sides involved. And there's certain guys that I know if they have it, it's a fact. You know, when Adam Schefter's got a story, I've known Adam for a couple of decades, and he's as good as there is. And when he's got a story, 99% of the times he's got the true story.
When can we expect this announcement to be made officially, you think?
I don't know what the holdup is. If all this happened this week, then I would imagine it would be next week. But you would think it broke right before it was released. It's obvious the Buccaneers know about it, too. So I would think they'd want to. This is the time of the year while everybody's off. Get it out there. Get it over. Move on.
Do you think there's a chance it could be more than three games?
I don't think so. I don't think too many people, I don't think so many outlets would have three if it were going to be more. That means a lot of them got bad information, and I don't think that's the case.
Talking to John McClain right now on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. John, do me a favor. We're going to put you on hold for a brief minute. We got to get to a break. When we come back, I do want to go around the National Football League with you. So we're talking to John McClain from the Houston Chronicle. It's the Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
He's glad you're still here. Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
Welcome back in. It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Continuing our conversation with John McClain from the Houston Chronicle. He's covered the NFL for 38 years. John, let's get back into the conversation. Good stuff on Jameis Winston. Now I want to transition into the AFC South, and there are two quarterbacks that are returning in Deshaun Watson and also Andrew Luck. What are your expectations for those two this upcoming year, John?
Well, I feel a lot better about Deshaun Watson because he's ready to go. When they get to training camp, it's been 10 and a half months since he had his surgery on his ACL. I watched him go through drills at the off-season program. They kept him out 11-on-11 because they were afraid somebody might fall and roll up on his knee. So he worked 7-on-7 individual. He did a lot of things that you do in games with 7-on-7. And we watched him do a lot of things physical after practice, just working on the physical part. And he's ready to go. And still, though, they're not going to just throw him out there going 120 miles an hour. They have a plan for him, J.J. Watt, other players who are injured, to let him come out, work a little one day, work a little more, take a day off. And the whole idea, of course, is to have them ready for the regular season open in New England. I'll feel a whole lot better about Andrew Luck when I know that he's throwing a regular football and making all the throws he made before his surgery. And really, you're going to have to see Luck do it in a game and take some hits on his surgically repaired shoulder before I would think the fans can breathe a sigh of relief, because Andrew's had a long, tough road of it. And if Luck and Watson come back 100% and Marcus Mariota can stay healthy for the first time in his career, and then Blake Bortles, who was the only quarterback in the division to stay healthy last year, and the Jaguars won the division. If those guys stay healthy, this division is going to be so good, so competitive, and so much better. And it all started in the playoffs when Tennessee won at Kansas City, and Jacksonville beat Buffalo, and then went on to upset the Steelers in Pittsburgh and scared the Patriots at Gillette before losing the AFC Championship game. And if Luck's back, Andrew Luck's never had a losing record. Worst record he's had in the NFL is 8-8. So the Colts would be competitive if he's able to play full time.
Do the Jaguars take a step back after the year they had this past year, which was very impressive? They take a step back this year. How do you look ahead to what they could be possibly doing this upcoming year?
Zach, they're not going to catch anybody by surprise. Their defense should be great again. Blake Bortles would have to be, I think he needs to be more consistent. But where they benefited the most, injuries. They lost Allen Robinson. I don't know if they lost another starter for the season. The Texans had 20 players on IR, including 13 starters. The Colts were decimated by injuries as well. The Titans were relatively healthy, and the Jaguars better hope that all of a sudden they don't get bit by the injury bug like Houston and Indianapolis, because that could hurt them worse than anything. Now, with all that being said, they were still 10-6, one game ahead of the Titans.
When we look at this division as well, and we were talking about Andrew Luck as we're talking about John McClain right now from the Houston Chronicle on CBS Sports Radio. With Luck, do you think he's ready for week one?
Considering he hasn't thrown a football yet, as far as we know, an NFL football, not a lighter high school football. In fact, he's throwing a lighter football. That's kind of scary. Now, he's got another 5 or 6 weeks, and then you figure the whole off-season program. I won't be surprised if he's back, knowing him like I do, and I've known him since high school because of his father, Oliver, who I've known since 82. But if they hold him back a little bit and go with Jacoby Brissett, that won't surprise me either.
Now, moving to the NFC East, Odell Beckham, such a big contract situation, getting ready on that fifth-year option. He says he's going to show up for training camp, SNY. He told it to SNY, but SNY also says there's still a chance a holdout is still on the table. I believe a deal eventually gets done. I don't know when, but I think the Giants clearly do want to keep him. The just question I guess I have is, how ugly does this get before they do find a resolution to get a contract on the table to Odell Beckham?
It hasn't gotten ugly with Beckham because he's been there. And he's trying to become a $20 million a year player. We haven't had one besides a quarterback. Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack, they want to be $20 million a year players as well. So far, the agents haven't blinked. I'm guessing that Odell Beckham Jr. will sign first. And the reason is Mack and Donald's the NFL Defensive Player of the Year. Mack's a terrific pass rusher. I think those guys each of their agents is waiting for the other one to make a move, which could delay both of them. I'll be surprised if any of them hold out in the regular season and start missing big game checks, but I do believe Beckham Jr. will be the first one to sign because, you know, the Giants, they're not starting over, but they've got to make a big step. They've got to make a big step forward after what happened last year. And with Eli Manning at his age and in the twilight of his career, they can't afford to risk a holdout with their best player. So I think they'll get that deal done.
Who is the best shot at challenging the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles in that NFC East this year?
Well, I believe the Cowboys last year missed Ezekiel Elliott for six games. And even though they don't have Dez Bryant and Jason Witten, but if you look at their stats, they were both diminishing. They got diminishing returns. And they could have a good defense. I think they'll win at least 10 games. The Giants, I don't see 10. I don't see the Redskins doing that. So I'm thinking it'll be the Cowboys putting the most heat on the Eagles.
And I'll end you on this as we're talking to John McClain right now on CBS Sports Radio. I know you are very much involved in the voting process for the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton. T.O. not going to the ceremony as of right now. How do you react to that?
Well, I don't believe he will, Zach. I don't look for him to turn around and say he's coming because you have to turn in a guest list of all the fans who are coming to see you, your friends, your family, your fans, and then you have a party afterward. You got to have a guest list. You can't just say no and then turn around because of everything that needs to go into it. I don't know if they've had somebody tape his presentation yet. If not, that would have to be done. You know, I think at some point in his life, he'll look back and slap himself in the forehead and go, "What did I do?" Because he's not hurting anybody except himself. You know, I've been to almost 30 of these and induction ceremonies, and I'll be at this one. And when T.O. said he wasn't coming, I told everybody on my talk shows, good, that'll shorten the ceremony. And I think we all agree the ceremony needs to be shorter. And I'll be riding on Deadline with Robert Brazil, the former Oiler linebacker who waited 34 years, Zach, and every day gets up, pinches himself to make sure he's not dreaming that he going to Canton to be inducted in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Give me a guy like Robert Brazil any day of the week. And T.O. deserves to be in. I'm glad he did. I voted for him. If he doesn't want to be there, that's his decision. It'll still be an incredible 4-day event. Only thing that bothers me about it, Zach, and I'll be there too, is we'll be asking all the current members who are going in and then all the former members about what they think about T.O. And I don't think it'll take away from it, but, you know, I'd rather focus on the guys that are there, but you can't, because it's unprecedented, you can't avoid it.
I'm a T.O. fan, full disclosure. I do think he should go to the ceremony, though. I do think he shouldn't have to wait, but then also I've also advocated for Jerry Kramer for years and years and years, and he had to wait a whole lot longer. So why do you think T.O.'s not going, though, if you had to put a pulse and a guess on it?
I don't buy the fact, Zach, that people are theorizing that he's mad at not getting voted in on the first ballot, because there's a lot of great players that didn't get in voted in on the first ballot. And also, he waited a long time, and he went to the Hall of Fame. They have to have plans and preparations, and he went, and then he decided not to go. And I just hope it's not because somebody's offering him money to have some kind of party that weekend somewhere else. I hope he'll explain his reasons. He doesn't have to. And I hope in the future he changes his mind and he comes back and participates. Because those events, Zach, with the greatest players and coaches and contributors in history, it is just mesmerizing to be there and to be around them. And I know he's going to be missing out on something he could participate in, and he'll never be able to duplicate walking across the stage, Zach. 7,500 people in the Canton Civic Center cheering, his family and friends on the floor. He comes down a gauntlet of Hall of Famers. They're all high-fiving him as he walks up the stage, and his presenter gives him his gold jacket. and he puts it on and he walks around and his family and friends are shooting videos and pictures and his teammates are waving to him and the strobe lights are flashing and the music's blaring. You can't duplicate that anywhere else because it is a one-time only thing at the Enshrinees dinner. It's the neatest thing of the weekend.
John, you're the best. Always learn something every time we talk to you. Thank you so much. We'll have you on again real soon.
My pleasure, Zach. Thank you very much, as always.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.